Torah says that aside from the mitzvah of tzitzit, there's also this aspect, this component of tcheles, and we were trying to understand what exactly does that mean. So what we did understand, we discussed this the week before you know, 2 weeks ago, we mentioned that that basically having tcheles with your tzitzis means fulfilling the mitzvah bishleimuso, the way it's supposed to be. And we mentioned the Beis Halevi quoting the Rashba, that if a person does the mitzvah lechatchila in a b'di'evid way, if they on purpose perform the mitzvah of tzitzis without tcheles, when it is available, so that's how they will violate Bal Tigra. Because even though we paskin that ein tcheles ma'akev es halavon ve'ein lavon ma'akev es tcheles, that the blue doesn't ma'akev the white and the white doesn't ma'akev the blue, and we fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis just with white tzitzis, nonetheless, if a person on purpose wears his white tzitzis without the tcheles, when he could be wearing it with the tcheles, so then he would violate Bal Tigra. So that's what we mentioned to this point, and that gave the level of urgency to our discussion, that even though we do fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis without the tcheles, but today, now perhaps we have three different versions of tcheles, maybe we ought to give it a closer look and consider wearing the tcheles for that reason. So one of the central questions that comes up in terms of tcheles is, does the tcheles have to just be the right color, blue, or does it also have to come from a particular animal called the chilazon? Okay, does the source have to be from the chilazon? So we only touched upon this briefly. I want to just delve into it a little bit more carefully for a moment. There's a braisa, Maseches Menachos, Daf Mem Dalet, Amud Aleph, that describes how they used to make tcheles. And the way it's described by Chazal, Menachos, Mem Dalet, Amud Aleph, and that braisa, it says that the secretions of the chilazon provided the dye for the tcheles. Now, the only thing is, while the braisa does say that the secretions of the chilazon provided the dye for the tcheles, it doesn't say that it had to be that way. It implies it, but it doesn't say it has to be that way. It could be that the braisa is only speaking b'lashon hove, meaning it's just speaking the way it was normally done. If you had another way to do it, fine, because then hey, it's just that the way they did it, they happened to do it through chilazon. It never said in the braisa explicitly that it'd be possible if you didn't get the tcheles specifically from the chilazon. Okay. However, there is another source. There's another Tanaitic source that does indicate very strongly that the tcheles has to come specifically from the chilazon. That's brought down in the Tosefta in Maseches Menachos. In the Tosefta, Maseches Menachos, Perek Tes Halachavav. In Perek Tes Halachavav, in that Tosefta, the Tosefta says explicitly, unequivocally, that tcheles is valid only when it comes from the chilazon. And it says that if it comes not from the chilazon, then it's posel. So you can't get more explicit than that. And indeed, the Tosfos in Maseches Menachos, in Membeis and Membeis, says, based on that Tosefta, that tcheles has to come from the chilazon. Nonetheless, it is possible to deflect these proofs. As I said, number one, the braisa that I quoted initially, maybe the braisa was only speaking b'lashon hava, that the way they made tcheles was from the chilazon, but it never said in that braisa that it has to come from the chilazon. So maybe it can come from another source. However, what do you do with that tosefta? So one possibility is that it's a machlokes between the braisa and the tosefta. That's one possibility. So maybe we don't pass like the tosefta. Another possibility is that the Tosefta, when it said that the tcheles has to come from the chilazon, maybe it didn't mean it with regard to tcheles for tzitzis. Perhaps it only meant it for tcheles for the Big Day Kahuna. In fact, that's what the Tiferes Yisrael says. The Tiferes Yisrael, this is, if you want to look it up, it's in his introduction to Seder Moed. Okay, the Tiferes Yisrael has a beautiful introduction to Seder Moed. It's called Kupat Rochlim. It's in the Klolei Big Day Kahuna. So the Tiferes Yisrael there says that it is true that tchelas has to come from the chilazon. However, when we say tchelas has to come from the chilazon, that's only with regard to the big day kahuna. That was not with regard to tzitzis. For tzitzis, it just has to be the right color, but otherwise it doesn't have to come from the chilazon. The Tiferes Yisrael was then addressing the question, so he says, if so, if it doesn't have to come from the chilazon, says the Tiferes Yisrael, then why? How come I don't wear tcheles? That's what the Tiferes Yisrael asks. Rhetorically, why don't I wear tcheles? So he says, because I don't know exactly what color blue they're talking about. There are a lot of different shades of blue. And he says, I'm not really sure exactly what color it is. Now, in addition, if just to give some support for this idea that maybe the tchelas with tzitzis does not have to come from the chilazon, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis, Perek Bet Halacha Aleph, so the Rambam also, when he describes the process of making the tchelas, he never says that it has to come from the chilazon. He never ever says that. And there are many mefarshim that understood from that Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, that Rambam believes that tchelis just has to be the right color. It has to be blue, and it has to adhere, it has to hold fast to the material, but not that it has to come from the chilazon. Indeed, some of the people who interpreted the Rambam this way included, as I mentioned already, the Tiferes Yisrael. He interpreted the Rambam that way. The Radziner Rebbe also interpreted the Rambam this way. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer interpreted the Rambam this way. Rav Echil Michal Takachinsky interpreted the Rambam this way. It is also brought down in a sefer called Mibet Midrasho Shel Harav. These are notes on Rabbi Salvechik Shir. So Mibet Midrasho Shel Harav in page 68, it's brought down that the Rav understood the Rambam this way. Rabbi Salavechik understood the Rambam also this way, that the Rambam doesn't hold it. It has to, that tchelis for tzitzis, he says it does not have to come from the chilazon, according to the Rambam. Now, nonetheless, just because the Rambam holds this way doesn't mean that everyone's going to pass in this way. It's the Rambam, but not everyone else. So those who do pass in halacha l'maisa that the tchelis does not have to come from the chilazon is a smaller group. That's a much smaller group. They include Rav Kalischer, I mentioned to you Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, the Tiferes Yisrael, and Rav Tav Kuczynski. But the vast majority of poskim assume that it does have to come from the chilazon. If you want to look it up, Rav Kiveger, who is cited in the Sefer by Rav Kalischer. Rav Kalischer wrote a book called Drishat Zion. So on page 131 in Drushat Zion, he quotes Rabbi Kiveger, who quotes all the poskim that it has to come from the chilazon, and that's what we assume. Most poskim assume that we don't want to get into this mess because there's safek d'oraisa. We're going to be careful. We have to find out what the chilazon is. Yes.
Who is the
Rabbi Michal Takashinsky. He was a rav in Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote a lot of svarim on Inyanei Eretz Yisrael, and
this is
he has something on his mind. He has a lot of good stuff. So he also wrote a book about the.
Are there any other halachos where the Masorah has been so confused over time, where there's such doubts on the authenticity of it nowadays?
I mean, there are, like when you look in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara talks about what's a trua. The Gemara says we don't know whether a trua is a. Is Genuche Ganach or Yulula Yalil? Basically, is it a Shavarim or is it the Trua that we know? The Gemara has a doubt about that. There are numerous other types of cases where there are doubts. There's a doubt about other dyes, like the purple dye. There's a whole discussion about the Argamon. What's Argamon? There's a bit of a question about. When you go, we talked about the tzitzis. Was it three strings or four strings? We talked about tefillin. Are the parshios like Rabbi Natan, like Rashi? It goes on and on and on and on. Yeah.
What would happen, like, even if we were sure that it had to come from the chilazon, and that, let's say, it had to be a certain glue, well, if you were wearing tzitzis that were just stomp-dyed, like, a random color of glue, would you still be becoming a mitzvah?
According to most poskim, it would not invalidate the tzitzis. The tzitzis will still be kosher, even if it's dyed the wrong color.
So then when you mentioned the suffix, though, right, I shouldn't be for sure put it on, even if it's just a random glue?
Right, right. I hear what you're saying. But on the other hand, though, we don't want to... We don't want to, I guess, what I mean, just to borrow a phrase from a particular critic of the whole Tchelet endeavor, the phrase that he used was, we don't want to contaminate the Masara. That's the phrase that he used. Now, he says, you know, if you start doing this, this is going to become the Masara, so we have to be very, very careful.
But if it's a suffix, right, and there's nothing to do.
Well, it's not a suffix. Usually when you say suffix, it's like all things, you know, it's like fairly 50-50. But if you like, you don't even know. But again, that's a counter argument. Your argument is not a bad argument. I think that there's a lot of merit to what you're saying. But I'm saying it's not. I don't think it's a knockout argument. It's not like compelling. You say that's it. It's a game. It's a game changer argument.
Isn't it from the psukim seeming like doesn't seem that without tchila there's no kiyum in the mitzvah tzitzis?
Yeah, we don't assume that way. There's machlokas tanoim whether we say tchelis is ma'akev es halavan. We paskin.
That's not
clear. Yeah, except for the Baal HaMa'or. The Baal HaMa'or says that tchelis is ma'akev es halavan, but he's the only one.
So if you said tchelis is ma'akev, then would you say that since we lost tchelis, it's better not to wear tzitzis? Then
that's right. He did not wear tzitzis.
Wow.
Yeah.
There
wrote
an article about the discovery of certain flowers that released the exact same chemical makeup of the dye of the chilazon. So when you say that it has to come from the chilazon specifically, does that mean it has to be the chilazon chemical and the flower to be kosher, or it has to come from the chilazon?
He's talking about the kala elon.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into that. Okay. So basically, as I mentioned. We're now stuck. We're stuck on the track of trying to find exactly what the chilazon is, because we're assuming that tchelis has to come from the chilazon. So now we have to identify the chilazon in order to move ahead. So I described in our last year together on tchelis, I went through the whole history, going from the Radziner to Rav Herzog to more contemporary times of using the Murex trunculus. For the finding of the tchelis dye, and I talked about how it was left out in the sun, and it turned out that it went. Remember, everyone was having a problem getting blue. It went from when you opened up the murex and you basically burst the sack that was that has the dye in it. So it goes from clear to yellow to green to blue and then to purple. And they never could stop it. Every time it went to blue, they got it, and then it turned to purple. So some people said, okay, therefore it's not it. Other people said, oh yeah, now we know that tchelis is purple. But finally, like in 1985, there were some scientists that were dealing with dyes, and they left by accident, in quotation marks. You can definitely say it's hashkachas Hashem, that possibly that if you hold this is right, then it's possibly hashkachas Hashem. They left it out, and then but lo and behold, the sun's rays had created a chemical reaction that left it as blue, and it came out this beautiful sky blue, unbelievable. So I mentioned at the very end that Joel Gruberman and Dr. Ari Greenspan and Dr. Baruch Sturman, together with Rav Tevgar. Basically created this organization called the Amutat Ptil Tchelet, which is now the famous Ptil Tchelet organization that, again, basically you're going to find only two types. You're going to find the Radziner's Tchelet, around, or you're going to find the Amutat Ptil Tchelet, which I think, I think that is by far and away the one that's most worn. Of people who wear Tchelet, I think already you're talking about probably. I don't know real number, but it appears to me that many, many, many thousands of people are wearing this already, much more than the Radziners.
What's the name of
the Amutat Ptil Tchelet? It's called the Ptil Tchelet Foundation, non-profit organization. Okay, just so you know, one of the interesting problems that this organization had is that the murex, which they wanted to use to make tcheles, the murex is forbidden by Israeli law to fish it off the Israeli coast because it's so rare. So it's considered an endangered species, and so you can't fish it legally off the coast. However, apparently in Greece and Spain and in France, the murex can be fished in abundance. I think like many tons of it are consumed by like a small Grecian village every week. You know, they just love this stuff. So they basically ship it in from those countries. That's how they got it. Now, I want to discuss, let's talk about this, the murex. I want to discuss, are there any halachic, agadic, maybe some archaeological factors that would point to the fact that this is the real, true thing. So let's begin with the following. First of all, just in terms of determining a chilaza, I think I already mentioned before that there is a bit of a problem because there are various contradictory sources. On the one hand, for example, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph says that the chilazon is only found in the Mediterranean. Okay. Again, this is in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. However, the Zohar claims that it's found only in the Kinneret. Okay.
Where in the Zohar?
It's Zohar Perek Beis. I have Daf Mem Chesam Beis. Bet. Perek Beis Mem Chesam Beis. Anyway, that it's found only in the Kinneret. Okay. The Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis, huh?
Kinneret's not a standalone body of water, and even though the Kinneret was flowing to.
No. Okay. The Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis, Perek Beis Halacha Beis, says enigmatically that it's found in the Yam HaMelach, which is very difficult to understand because nothing is, there aren't live organisms, or at least not maybe there's bacteria, they're microscopic organisms, but some interpret like when the Rambam meant the Yam HaMelach, he meant the salty sea, as opposed to the Kinneret, it's in the salty sea. So that would be the Mediterranean. Okay. But the Tiferes Yisrael says, no, the Rambam really meant it. It's found in the Yam HaMelach. Okay. When you look in Rishonim in terms of the color of the dye that comes out of the chilazon, when you extract the dye from the chilazon, what is the color of the dye at that moment? So the Rambam says in Hilchos Tzitzis Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, that it's black like ink. Okay. Obviously, who jumped on that one? Huh? Rezina. The Rezina said that's for him, and that's how he got the ink from his squid.
Where's Ramon
said? It's in Hilchos Tzitzis Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. However, if you look in Menachos Nun Beis Amud Beis, if you look at Rashi and Tosfos and Menachos Nun Beis Amud Beis. So Rashi and Tosfos will say, no, when the ink comes out, it's blue. Okay. Now, obviously, the problem is when you take it to murex, it's, right, the murex, it's clear, then yellow, then green, then blue, but then purple. So black is definitely not in it. So the Rambam, according to the Rambam, wouldn't work. And according to Rashi and Tosfos, it would work just for, like, it's not, when you burst it, it's like, I don't know, okay. I don't know what they mean. Like it's all these different colors. I mean, they seem to imply that it's one color, right? They seem to imply it's blue. They didn't say clear, yellow, green, blue, purple, except to put in the sun. They said it's just blue. So that's a bit of a problem for the murex idea. The Radziners would work out better this way. The Radziner at least has the Rambam. If you remember, I mentioned to Rav Herzog last time. Rav Herzog finally settled on the genthina, which coats the shore during a storm, it coats the whole shore blue. But the problem again is that when he never could get it, he never dyed the tzitzis blue. It always turned brown, so that didn't work. Okay. Another issue of where the again, if you would just say just some achronim, and they talk about this, they say, what, you know, the Rishonim, how did they know that it's black or blue? Or they never saw the chilazon. No one knew about the chilazon. The masar for the chilazon is gone, and there's no sources for any of this, for what color the for what color it is. So that's a little bit difficult. If you want to give like maybe one saving source for the murex, if you look in the Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says that the color, the dye is delitzel tzivei, delitzel tzivei, which means it's clear. His dye will be clear, but it doesn't always mean that. You can interpret it to mean the dyeing will be effective, but it could be that it means that the dye will be clear. It's in Shabbos Ayin Hey Amud Aleph.
What's the phrase?
Delitzel Dalad Lamed Yud Sadi Yud Lamed. Like saluta, sal is also clear. Okay, delitzel tzivei is the tzeva.
Who says that?
The Gemara. This is the Gemara in Shabbos. Not Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. So it could be that that's the indication. But again, most information points to the fact that there's a lack of information. That there is no information about the actual dye color when it comes out. Another issue is where the chilazon is found. If you want to look, you can look in water, land, when. So I already quoted the question, does it come from the Kinneret or from the Yam HaMelech? But watch this. We'll talk a little bit more about it in a second. Yeah.
One of the sources says that it's kind of like the Yam.
Right, Domer LeYam. Right, we haven't gotten to that question yet.
That would imply that it should be blue, right?
No, it's talking about the chilazon itself, not the dye. It doesn't say that the dye is Doma Liyam. Right? It says you're talking about, oh wait a second, you're talking about a different source. You're talking about the color of the tcheles. That's the dye after it's processed.
Yeah.
No, but that doesn't mean the secretion is gonna be that color.
Okay.
Right? I mean, I would think so, but it's not necessarily so. Right? Like the Rambam says that the secretion is black. He obviously is assuming that the secretion and the dye are not one and the same. There's a Rashi Menachos Mendalad Amen. Yeah.
It's a good question. If there's an emphasis talked about based on what the color of secretion is, why do we base so much of it based on the sac inside? How do we get to the secretion?
When you burst the sac,
that's the
color that comes out of it. First is clear, then yellow, then green, then blue, then purple. Rashi Menachos Memdalad Amud Aleph says that Tcheles comes out of the ground. The chilazon comes out of the ground.
What is that?
Rashi Menachos Memdalad Amud Aleph. Divar Maskil Va'Ola.
Does that mean the
ocean? It could be. It's possible. It's true. Nice. But I've actually gone. How many people have gone snorkeling for chilazon? It is in the ground. That is true. The sense you get though is like it's talking about yabasha, but you're right. There's a Rashi though in Shabbos that Ayin Dalad Amud Beis that says chilazon is a small fish, which sounds like it's dafka in the water. But again, if you say it's in the water, in the ground, then your murex is great. That's where it does come from.
That's
Rashi and Shabbos. Daf Ayin Dalad Amud Beis.
It's in a fish.
Huh?
If murex is in a fish.
Well, so we're going to talk about that. It's a good point. Okay, but there is an interesting response to that. I'll get to that in a moment. And just in terms of talking about a fish, Tosfos and Shabbos Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. And the Rambam in Sittis, Beis, says that chilazon is a fish. Okay.
What were those two sources?
The Rambam in Sittis, Beis, And Tosfos and Shabbos, Ayin Gimel on the base. Okay, now, probably the strangest of the sources is Rashi in Sanhedrin, Sadi Aleph Amar Aleph. He says that Chilazon is a tolat, is a worm that comes out of the sea. So that really doesn't work so well if it's a worm. But on the other hand, maybe if you want to say that it's a if it's a what's it called a mollusk, you know, that's sort of like a, not exactly a worm, but it's closer to a mollusk than a fish. Okay. Another strange one is Rashi Megillah Davav Amar Aleph that says that the Chilazon comes up from the sea and goes into the mountains.
It's a
long trip. Yeah.
Why can't we just say that Chilazon is a genus rather than an individual species?
It could be.
Like that would seem to.
I mean, all like a various group of.
Right, like you know, I mean, not necessarily a main category, but a subdivision.
It could be. Listen, I mean, you get the sense like no one's on the same page. I mean.
Right.
There's a big range of opinion here.
You mentioned earlier that that the Rishonim can't actually know what the color was, and they don't have Masorah, and there's no way they could have found out. So
unless they had a Masorah, I mean, maybe they did have a Masorah. I don't want to say they didn't have a Masorah. It's possible that you know that would be the counter. I'm just giving a counter argument.
So do you think they wear tailors back in the Rishonim? So if they had a Masorah, they would definitely be...
If they knew exactly which it was. They may have known what color it was and where it came from, but they didn't know how to catch it or get it. Or
that's possible. But do we take that into account, though, the possibility that they don't have a Masorah also for all these Rishonim that are reporting here for where it is?
It's a possibility.
True, then
it's a
we
possibility.
Can't really go by the Rishonim at all.
I don't know. They can't all be... I mean, unless you say it's a genus.
Right, I mean, maybe they're doing it based on the
right, but if you don't do
Gemara,
that, if you're saying it's very, Gemara, if you're saying chilos is a very specific thing, then they can't all be right.
Right.
Yeah, they're mutually exclusive.
You said that Rahi claimed that the chilos is a fish, which comes out of the water. What did he say?
Yeah, it's like a fish that comes out of the water up into the mountains.
I mean, is he saying that like?
But that was in Megillah Dafo.
Okay.
There you go. You can see. Take a look.
Okay.
Yeah. There's Yushalmi in Shabbos, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, that says the Chilazon has no Gidin Va'atzamos. Okay, that works well with the Murex. It doesn't have Gidin Va'atzamos. There's no sinews and bones or anything like that. But it wouldn't be a fish. You can't call it right. Like a fish couldn't be a Chilazon if you hold like the Yushalmi.
I mean, how scientific are we showing that classifying organs? Like, you know.
Okay.
In terms of relative, unless you're using like a concrete definition.
Okay, but I'm saying it has no atzamot. I mean, it can't be a regular fish.
I mean,
right?
Sharks go to I don't know. I'm not a biologist.
Okay. So I want to go through some reasons to. So now I've just presented some of these sources, which clearly create a bit of confusion and problems. So I want to walk us through why Murex would Dafka be the right thing, maybe. So let's start with the following. There's a Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Pei Hei Amar Aleph, that says that on Shabbos, one of the ways to violate Shabbos would be to do potseya on a chilazon. Now, what's potseya mean? Most interpretations are to crack it open. Okay? So, to crack open the chilazon. Now, if it's a fish, if it's a regular fish, it's hard to imagine cracking open a fish. But if it's a mollusk of some, you know, some type of shellfish, so then you can see the idea of cracking it open. There's some Rishonim say potseya doesn't mean cracking it open, it means just making an incision or a cut, but most interpret potseya to mean cracking open. So that would be in favor dafka of the murex. A really amazing character trait, I guess, of the murex that would go in its favor is the following. There's a Gemara in Menachos, Daf Mem Amar Aleph and Mem Gimel Amar Aleph. There's also something in Bav Metzia and Samach Aleph on the base. But in these Gemaras in Menachos and in Bav Metzia, they basically say that they describe some immoral individuals that were trying to sell Tcheles Tzitzis, but they dyed it with Kala Ilan. Kala Ilan basically is indigo blue. It's an indigo. It comes from plants. Okay? So instead of using the chilozone, they were using this Kala Ilan. And they were basically shysters, okay? You know, they were basically, you know, using they were trying to trick them. So what happened? The Gemara says that people who do this are cursed by God. They're cursed by God. Now it turns out the Gemara goes ahead and says that it was very difficult to tell when if it was Kala Ilan or if it was really from the Chilazon. Couldn't tell. The only person who could know, says the Gemara, was God. Very strange, very formulation. Very strange. The only one who would know the difference was God. Now, the Murex, interestingly, its dye has the same molecular makeup as the Kala Ilan. It has the same molecular makeup as the Kala Ilan, the dye. The dye has the same molecular makeup as the as the Kala Ilan.
Why is that not Tiyupta then?
You're saying that it should make it worse or better?
No, why doesn't everyone just agree with this then?
I mean, it's like a not, you think that's like borrowed. Yeah. Well, so there are those who use it against the Murex. I'll give you an example. You want to see how it's turned on its head? The Gemara says that while it's true that only God would know the difference between the Kala Ilan and the real Chilazon dye, so how would you check? If you wanted to check, what would you do? So the Gemara gives different types of tests that you could run on the dyed tzitzis. Basically, they created a potion that you would soak your tzitzis strings in. If you soak your tzitzis strings in this mixture, and you take it out, and the dye is gone, then you knew it was Kala Ilan. But if it stayed, then it was the real thing. It was Chilazon. So the counter argument is, well, if the Murex dye is the same molecularly as the Kala Ilan dye, then what should happen when they both go
same
into
thing.
Right? They both should disappear in the solution.
Or both stay.
Huh? Either both stay or both disappear. So you want to hear the knockout retort? It's unbelievable. Apparently, the response is that you have to know the dye industry, the way the dye industry works. If you made dye from a plant, like the Kala Ilan, so what's the English word? It's called a Kala Ilan? Indigo. It's a basic indigo, right? It's indigo. It's Kuf Lamed Aleph Ilan. So the response is that in the dye industry, if you made it from indigo, from a plant, so you have to create some type of dye solution to help attach the dye to the wool or to the garment. Okay, you have to make some solution that would help attach it.
Only by plants, but not by
plants. Right. If you made it from plants, the solution would have to be made by from plants. But if you made it from an animal solution, like from a chilazon, then you would use an animal solution. They would have to put in pieces of the meat of the chilazon in order to attach it. That's the way it was done. So apparently, the way to undo the attachment was through a specific solution. You know, if you used a solution that was targeting a plant-like attachment, then it would only remove it if it was plant-attached. That was the very, 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 very sharp response. Yeah.
Wasn't the fact that it's completely indifferentiable between Kala Ilan and the Chilazon sort of proved like that it's not a matter of what color it is, it's a matter of the Chilazon. But it's just a matter of what color it should be, then as soon as it's so identical that only God can tell the difference, then why is this considered fake? Who cares?
You're saying that whatever the indigo, but I think there's still a range.
So
I still think there's a range.
Chilazon. I thought the whole point is you can't tell the difference because it's so identical.
I'm not an expert in these dyes, but I think that indigo may have still different, the way, like, to the, and as when you put it on, let's say I put it on 1,000 pairs of tzitzit, real indigo, on a garment, plant indigo. I think it, depending on various factors, it might actually look different. It doesn't always come out the same.
Then how come they come out different between the tzitzit and kalira? Mm-hmm. And it looked exactly the same. Why can't they say that's the color of the tzitzit, that's the color of the kalira?
No, because all the, just like regular indigo would have 1,000 different blues, so to the chilazon would have a range of colors.
If there's an acceptable range for the chilazon, then there should be an acceptable range for the color ilan. If you say it's just a matter of having the right color, and it doesn't matter what the source is.
Oh, yeah, for sure, if you were passing that way.
Yeah, so I'm saying, what should this gemara be definitive about that? Because it's definitively saying that it doesn't matter what the color is, we need it to be from the chilazon.
From the chilazon, right. It seems, right, it seemed from this, but on the other hand, though, the problem is that maybe the response would be that people are just blind. They're passing it off as chilazon as opposed to kala ilan.
Then why does it say only God can tell the difference?
Because only God could.
Because if it's something that's distinguishable by the eye, because it's a different color, people should be able to tell the difference, even if they're lying and saying this is chilazon. The fact though.
But it molecularly is the same.
No, but
it could be they were just lying. In other words, it could be they were cursed not because of the puzzle, but because they were lying. You know, they were lying about where it came from. But I agree with you. The Gemara seems to be pointing much more in the direction that you definitely, that it has to come from the Gemara. Yeah.
Can you explain the retort, the last point?
The last one is that the way the dye was attached to the fabric was through, you know, if it was a vegetative dye, then it was attached vegetatively. If it was an animal with chilazon dye, then it was attached through chilazon. The way you'd undo it is similarly through a solution that was targeting one of those attachments.
Okay.
So if it was made from vegetation, like indigo, then there would be a special solution that would dissolve that attachment.
So even though
the color was exactly the same, but only one attachment was dissolved. Not you know, it's only the vegetative attachment would dissolve, not the animal one. The Gemara Menachos Mem Gimel Mar Aleph says that Tcheles adheres, it doesn't fade. The Rambam paskens that way as well in Hilchos Tzitzis Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, and the Murex dye happens to adhere exceedingly well. People who wear it will attest that even if you put it through the wash, it stays. It doesn't run on the beged, as opposed to the Ritziners, which always it dyes the corner. It runs all the time. I think a beautiful idea is the following. Based on the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Dalet on the Beis, most Rishonim understand that Tcheles is only considered Tcheles for Tzitzis if it's on what type of garment? What type of fabric?
Wool.
Specifically wool. There's a Shitas Yachid that says not that way. That's even Ezra. But almost everybody else says that Tcheles has to be on a woolen...
Has to be.
That's a din of Tcheles. Tcheles is wool. It's a wool Tzitzis. Not, I don't mean the beged. I mean the actual strings. The strings have to be wool. You know, right. It's in Yevamos Daf Dalet Amud Beis and looking at Rishonim Alatan. Now, one of the really cool facts or factoids about the Murex dye, you know which garment, you know which fabric that it really exceeds, it adheres best to? Wool. It works really just. With other fabrics, it's okay, but with wool, it's unbelievable. Very interesting. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, that says that the chilazon's dye will degrade very quickly upon the death of the chilazon. So if the chilazon dies, I'm using too many terms, dying and dying. If the chilazon passes away, okay, so then the so then the dye in it will degrade. Okay, so therefore when they make the dye, they quickly, you know, they do this like pretty much when it's alive. They do it when it's alive.
That's over the time.
They need it. So
yes. So yes.
That's how they do it. I guess not.
Maybe it doesn't have a tzara l'chaim.
Maybe it doesn't kill tzara. I don't know. But that's how it's done.
It doesn't kill it.
How it might sever the spinal cord.
It doesn't necessarily kill it.
Tzara l'chaim isn't killing it.
This is an interesting fact about it. About the chilazon. That's how it was. The chilazon had to die, had to be harvested while it lasted. It's behind the shell. You have to break open the shell, and then right behind the shell is a small little thing. I think the number, if I have to check the numbers, I think it's something like. I think you need 30 murexes to get one pair of tzitzis.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it goes, if I'm getting it right, if you want to look at another terms, to get 1 gram of murex dye, how many snails? 1 gram.
1,000. 3,000.
8,000.
How big is the actual?
Okay.
The information
about the
fraction.
Okay, how about to make just another, okay, you remember that? To make 10,000 steps of tzitzis, of trailer tzitzis, 10,000. How what weight of murex shells?
What sheet of
feather? What?
2 tons.
Pretty good. Okay, but just so you know, but just so you know, 2 tons of snails of murex are consumed in a village in Greece each week. So. Doesn't know. There's no such indication.
Have you stats the Ritva? Have you stats the Ritva or meaning
what cheetah?
Oh, according to which I'm not sure. I'm assuming
so
the Rambam.
Right.
It could be even more. I'm doing wrong.
So if we have to go to such great lengths and do such difficulties in order to create, isn't it kind of like, doesn't it reflect badly on maybe in the Murex because they didn't have the same technology and scientific capabilities that we have nowadays? Like, how would they have created succeeded if it's so hard for us to get through all the way to Greece to get the
Well, actually, they were fishing it off of the coast in Haifa. Either they were fishing it or they were importing it. I mean, depending on probably on the season or on the year. And right. You know, we have Hashgachas Hashem. You know, Siyata Dishmaya in different ways.
What if the Rashi department of the against this? The whole thing where they made 250 chelas, the entire tzitzit was dyed chelas. Where did they get those thousands of murexes in the middle of the desert?
No, so again, murex, the dye, once you have the dye, you can make it hard, right? So they probably when they pillaged basically all Mitzrayim's wealth that was not just gold and silver. It was probably the Tcheles was considered extremely expensive, and they probably took a lot of the dye. Okay. Now, maybe I shouldn't use the word. Okay, there was a quick. Okay, so one quick. By the way, an interesting question about the fish. I know you wanted to ask me about the fish question, right? So the what does it mean that brioso is doma the dog? That it's like a fish. So first of all, there are many mefarshim that say that the how do you magdir a fish alpi halacha? So apparently the Rambam. Holds that a fish is mugdar as a very wide range of things, including shellfish. If I can get the Rambam for you, The Rambam is in Tumas HaMeis, Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph. He says that mollusks, sea snails, are considered fish. Hapi Halacha. Another explanation, Brioso Domo the Dog, that it looks like a fish. Brioso doesn't mean it looks like a fish. Brioso means that it spawns, you know, that it basically creates itself, it repopulates like a fish, and which it does. The Murex basically spawns like a fish.
Who said it has to?
Huh?
The Gemara said that?
The Gemara said Brioso Domo the Dog. But
is there a...
When you think of a fish, okay, I'm not the greatest artist of you, but imagine, does this somehow look like a fish? Give me a sec. You say a little bit like a fish? I don't know. That looks like Mickey Mouse. Let's see. All right.
It's really fine.
I'm doing this.
First one was fine.
First one is fine. Like this? I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? Like that?
Sure.
Okay. If you take a Murex shell and you hold it in, you know, up just so, it actually looks exactly like that. It does. It really, really does. I have one. I totally forgot to bring it, but I have. But we had there. I think we're going to run out of time, so we're probably going to have to do this again just to finish up. But it is very. It does really look like that. I'll lean out there. Someone please remind me next time, and I'll bring it in. Okay. Okay, let's deal with some agadata. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, says that Chilazon comes from the area of Haifa to Sidon. Okay, it's again in Shabbos, Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. So, if you look from an archaeological digs from Haifa to Sidon, you know what they find on the coast over there? Tons and tons and tons of Murex.
Where is Sidon?
Okay.
Is that Tyre?
Yes.
Is that
north or south? Okay. There's a medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, Perek Dalet, that says the Chilazon's nartik grows with it. What is a nartik? Sounds like a shell. Okay. It's cover, grows with it.
Where is it?
Huh? It's in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, Perek Dalet. There's a phrase, which I just love this phrase. It's a phrase in Devarim, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yutes. And the phrase is Sfunei Tmunei Chol. You know what Sfunei Tmunei Chol are? Treasures buried in the sand. Okay? Sfunei Tmunei Chol. Treasures buried in the sea, right? And the Gemara Megillah, the Vav Amud Aleph, says that who are the Sfunei Tmunei Chol? What are the treasures buried in the sea? The Chilazon. If you go snorkeling for Murex, you will find them buried in the sand. That's where they are. Okay. Okay. So we'll stop here. Next week, Kevez Hashem, it's already Erev. Perm. We're getting close to Perm next week. But we'll be able to talk about... I want to talk about the arguments against the Murex and what are some responses to that. And maybe we'll be able to even discuss a little in Yoni Perm too. Unless you want to discuss all in Yoni Perm.
No.
Do you want to talk about the Adel Yoda?
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. So we'll finish up Chelis, and maybe we'll talk still about some Yoni Perm. Okay. Huh? Oh yeah. Oh, yes. Is there?
We have the most.
The last horse.